reading today is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Good morning, First Pres family. My name is Stephanie Roselle, and I'm one of the elders here at church. My family and I have been members since 2008 when we moved to Fairbanks after having been out in the village for several years. My husband Brian and my oldest son Jacob are actually out on a bike trip right now. They're heading from Fairbanks down to Anchorage and will be there finishing up on Monday. So if you could keep them in prayer, that would be fantastic. It's really an honor to bring you the message today. I tend to be a very enthusiastic volunteer, and I don't always think through the ramifications. So never having given a sermon before, I had no idea what I was signing up for. But God is faithful, and in preparing for today, I can tell you that I have learned a lot about myself, about God's nature, about my tendencies towards sin, and about the abundance of grace that God extends to us. So as we begin, I would really love to open in prayer. Please join me. Holy God, it is with deep gratitude that we come to you this morning. We are grateful for your word, which is alive and speaks to us in new ways throughout our lives. I pray that this morning your voice would be the one speaking, and your spirit would be moving in each of our lives to draw us closer into relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So thank you, Jeanette, for reading the scripture this morning. As you heard, Luke begins in chapter 17, verse 11, and he tells us that Jesus was traveling between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he encountered 10 lepers. Today, we know the disease leprosy as Hansen's disease. We know that it's a bacterial infection and that when left untreated, it can cause severe and permanent damage to skin, eyes, nerves, and limbs. But in Bible times, leprosy really could have been any number of skin conditions. Leviticus gives a very detailed description of all the various boils, infections, rashes, and all of the things that could have been called leprosy. We know today that some of these diseases were curable, some of them were not, some of them were contagious, and some of them were not. But they didn't know any of that at that time, and so if someone was found to have a skin condition, then they were also called unclean by the priest in town, and they were required at that point to set themselves fully apart from society, which meant they would have been found at the city gate. In this time of global pandemic, when we have all been separated, we have had a very small taste of what it means to be set apart from others. We have been cut off from extended family and friends and from our church. We have all mourned the inability to worship together and longed for that community of believers who offer love and acceptance to us. We have mourned the inability to laugh with friends over coffee. And we have just been longing so much for that time when we could come together and join in the communion of believers. For many, it has been a time of really deep sadness and loneliness. But we know that this will come to an end. For the lepers, they did not have this luxury. Once they were deemed unclean, they were cast out of relationship with those they loved and into a life of solitude, or perhaps solidarity with other lepers, but they were all dying. And so when Jesus this man rumored to have been performing miracles, enters their gate, it's in no wonder that they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." The text then, in verse 14, says, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priest.'" According to the law, only the priest had the authority to declare a leper clean or unclean. So in order to restore themselves, they understood that a visit to the priest was required. At this point, however, we understand that they were not yet healed, because the second part of verse 14 says, "As they went, they were cleansed." These men exhibited faith by starting on their way to see the priest before they were cleansed. In that same way, Romans 5:8 says, "While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God extends a gift, but we do have to act upon it. We have to do our part to believe, like the lepers, that we are unclean, and we have to act in faith to accept that Jesus Christ died for us and was resurrected to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the story does not end with the healing. In verse 15 and 16, we are told that one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. As I was prepping for the sermon this week, I spent a lot of time reading and listening to other sermons on this text. One particular resonated with me. Though the text does not say, we can assume that the other nine lepers were Jewish. Likely, there was some sense of entitlement that came with being Jewish, right? Because they were God's chosen people. And so even a leprous Jew would find himself superior to a leprous Samaritan. So just as in the example with the older brother in last week's message in the prodigal son, that air of superiority meant that they felt like they were somehow entitled. So if anyone was going to be healed, certainly it would be the Jews. They felt that they deserved it. But the Samaritan, however, would have been more like the younger brother. He would have been the one to have recognized fully his depravity. And upon finding himself healed, it makes sense that he would be completely overcome with praise and gratitude. It's really a beautiful picture. This man, heading to see the priest, sees that he is healed. He praises God in a loud voice, and he throws himself at Jesus' feet. It reminds me of the testimonies that we've heard here in this room of people who were really in the depth of suffering and addiction, and they were just completely lost. And then they encounter Christ, and they accept him as their Savior. They're desperate, right, at the end of the rope, and that transformation, the time when Christ reaches down and pulls them out, and they can accept that gift of salvation, those people are transformed radically. They are all in. They are people who cannot wait to go out and tell what God has done for them because they were so lost before. So it's interesting then, because Jesus then asks, were not all 10 cleansed? Right? He's looking for that same kind of response. Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner? Well, for many of us who have been in church for years and years, I wonder if we are like the 9 and like the older brother from last week. We are grateful for our salvation, but perhaps sometimes we take it for granted, right? We're grateful, but we're busy, so we don't have time to tell our coworkers about God. We're grateful for the salvation, but we can't attend the Bible study because we already made plans to do trivia night with our friends. And we're grateful, but in all honesty, maybe we deserve it because we come to church every week. You know, that, I think when we're honest with ourselves, most of us would say that we believe in the Bible, we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior, we really do feel the assurance that the Scriptures give us that our belief in God will save us. And we do praise Him. We praise him in our morning and in our evening prayers, but then we get on with the hustle and bustle of our day. And I wonder, how often does it cause us to stop and to praise God loudly and fall at his feet in thanksgiving? It's really a question that each of us should examine in our own lives. It's a relatively short story in the Bible. It ends with Jesus telling the Samaritans to rise and go. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. The Samaritan leper was not just healed, but he was made whole, he was restored, and he was drawn back into relationship with God. So what can we take away from this story? Well, first, we know that all 10 lepers received healing, but God wants more for us. He wants us to have a life of abundance. That abundance comes from a life of gratitude that gives glory to God the Father. What does it look like in your life to give gratitude to God? Second, God loves hearing our thanks, just as parents love hearing it from their kids. As I told you before, we're parents of 4 kids, and you know, they have their needs met, but they also have most of their wants met. And most of the time, they're pretty grateful. They express it, they tell us, they leave us notes. But there's also periods of time when they say nothing. And it comes across as ingratitude and oftentimes entitlement. And it's really frustrating as a parent to be pouring out gifts and love and not receiving anything back. And so I wonder, how often and in what ways do we return to God and give thanks to him for all the things that he's done? Because just like I want to hear it as a parent, I know that God wants to hear it from us, his children. Third, he desires for us to rise and go. He doesn't want us to just sit in our pews or in our homes. He wants that gratitude that we feel to overflow and praise and to draw others into the kingdom. Because it's not just about the healing, it's about a transformed life. And grateful hearts are all in. Are we all in? What barriers cause us to just sit and stay? How do we rise and go? What kinds of things do we need to rise from? What do we need to go and do? Questions that we should all be asking. Finally, he desires for us to take steps of faith. While we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us. There's nothing good in us. We like to think that there is, because it's really hard for us to see ourselves as sinners. You know, we're mostly good, but in reality, we're selfish. We really want to give money to that charity, but we're saving up for our trip to Hawaii. Or we're really arrogant. We look at what others are not doing, and we congratulate ourselves for being the ones that are doing it. And sometimes we're prideful. You know, we pat ourselves on the back for bringing our sick neighbor a casserole or picking up his groceries. So it's a really significant gift that while we were yet sinners, while we were still unclean in our hearts and in our minds, that Christ died to save us. So how do we confess those sins to God? Do we ever pray that God would show us our sins so we can no longer delude ourselves into thinking that we're okay? For those of us who have been Christians for a long time, I would encourage you to think about these questions. They're posted on Facebook, and I think they're also in the bulletin. But think about them and set aside some time each day to express your gratitude to God for all that he's done for you. Many people also find it helpful to memorialize specific events where God has performed a miracle in your life. Those are often called Ebenezer stones, just a memento that you can physically hold and touch to remind us that God was good. Because so often we are just blown by wind and waves. When our daughter Sarah was born, she had a heart defect, and it required her to be medevaced to Seattle and to have open heart surgery. And it was an incredibly scary and difficult time. But God healed her. She is completely well. And you know, so often I forget, but I recently came across the badge. We had to wear a badge every time we went into a hospital that said parent. And as I held that badge, I just prayed and thanked God. I thanked him for his life, for her life, and for his faithfulness, and for the woman that she's becoming today. And it was something tangible. And so I would really encourage you to find that stone that you can hold on to and that you can remember in those moments and give praise to God loudly. You know, whether that be for a reconciled marriage, a healing from cancer, for sobriety, or most importantly, your salvation. And finally, if you've never experienced God's healing, I would love to talk to you. If we were meeting in person, I would say, come here, come to the altar right after this service, and I would love to talk to you about Christ and tell you about how he died on the cross for you. But that's not possible. So I would encourage you to call the church. You can leave your number, and I would love to call you back, or you can ask to talk to David, who is our youth pastor, and he's here Monday through Friday. But just like the lepers, I really want you to know that God wants you to be healed. So come to the altar.